Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast.
Greetings, the good people of the planet Earth and the known universe. You're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. On deck today, we have... I'll tell you in 1 second. Let the music play. So on deck today, we have Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, an original Amazon Prime series that stars John Krasinski, formerly known of Off the Office fame. And I believe A Quiet Place is the movie he did with his wife, Emily Blunt. Great movie. So we'll talk about that TV series. The Gifted, which is returning for season two on Fox. And do you want to see a dead body? Quote, a body and some quicksand. That's the, so do you want to see a dead body is the title of the series on YouTube Premium. This episode is called A Body and Some Quicksand. So we'll talk about that too. Oh man, television today is awesome. It's just a trip. Streaming is amazing. The things that you can see now. But once again, I hope everyone out here in the known universe is doing well. So, and what did I want to say? Oh, where am I going to start? Let's see. Where do we go with first? You know, let's go. Let's go with the Do You Want to See a Dead Body? And then episode A Body and Some Quicksand. Stars Rob Hubel. And this episode actually features John Cho. Of Harold and Kumar fame and Star Trek fame. And he has a new movie out right now called Searching, I believe, where he's looking for his missing daughter who got kidnapped. Or we don't know what happened, but we just know she's missing. So I still need to watch that movie, actually. So apparently every episode from this season, from this series, is about how, you know, the main character is asking his friend if they want to see a dead body. Well, let me just go by what I saw with this episode. And for whatever reason, I saw episode two and not one. So I have to go back to episode one. I thought I was watching episode one, but apparently I wasn't paying attention. But it's okay. It's still worth talking about because it was a trip. So this episode is actually directed by Nicholas Jason Jasenovic. He also executive produced this episode. So basically, Rob and John Cho are walking, like, possibly in a park on a nice, beautiful, sunny day. And John Cho mentions to him, he said, well, you know, I've actually never seen a dead body. And for whatever reason, Rob is determined to show him one. Like, oh, I can help you with that. Like he's going to buy him ice cream or something. I mean, who has a dead body to show their friend? That just sounds creepy, right? So he's like, oh, yeah, let me take you to one, you know. And John is like, okay, cool. You know, he's not thinking anything of it. So, yeah, this whole episode was just very funny, bizarre, and just, yeah. So they're still walking in, like, this park, and apparently John stumbles into some quicksand. And he tells Rob that. And Rob's like, oh, no, I thought that was only in movies or TV. I didn't know it was real. And then John breaks down what quicksand is and that, yes, it is real. So John asks, you know, Rob, what, can you get me out? He's like, sure. So, you know, Rob goes and gets something to pull John out with, but he just throws it at John. So John can't reach it. Then he goes and he gets a long stick, but he just throws it to John. So once again, you know, he didn't hold on to the stick. So John can't reach it. So basically, Rob's like, okay, well, let me see what I can do. I have to go in town so I can figure this out, but we'll get you out of there. And Rob's like, you know, John, you got to, he goes, and John's like, oh, I'm sorry. I should have told you that when you gave me the stick, you have to hold on to it so you can pull me out. And then Rob's like, yeah, man, you're being kind of stupid right now. And John apologizes to Rob. Very bizarre and funny. Just really. So I have to tell you, this episode was so ridiculous and stupid that it was funny, if that makes any sense at all. I mean, it was forced, some of the plot, kind of, but it was still funny because it was just so ridiculous. It was just so unbelievable. But I couldn't stop watching. I can't lie. I couldn't stop watching it. I couldn't. I was intrigued and I was hooked. Yes, I was. So Rob goes into town, finds a store, talks to the store owner or the guy behind the counter. It's like, I need a rope. He goes, oh, what kind of rope? We got all kinds of rope. He goes, look, my friend is stuck in quicksand. I need to rope him out. Well, you should have said something. Here you go. Here's some quicksand rope. He goes, cool. He goes, you're going to need these gloves too. Rob looks at the guy. He goes, I don't need any gloves. He goes, okay. And then the guy behind the counter tells Rob how much it's going to cost. Like $12.89. Rob's like, cool, I got it. Hands out his debit card. Of course, the guy's like, I'm sorry, cash only. So then Rob's like, are you sure? Because I really need to get this rope so I can save my friend's life. You know, he's drowning in quicksand right now. He's waiting on me. And the guy behind the counter is just not moved at all. And Rob is like, well, I'll do anything for this if you help me. And basically, the guy behind the counter looks at him like, for a minute you think he's going to take him up on the offer, but he's like, no, sorry, cash only. And then Rob says, I'm talking about sex stuff, anything. So basically, Rob is willing to prostitute himself to get some rope so he can save John Cho. And the guy's just like, cash only. He goes, oh. So he leaves and he goes to the ATM machine. And he's in line behind this guy who goes up to the ATM machine and basically breaks it. So now Rob can't get the money from there. So Rob decides, okay, well, let me go into the store. Go inside the bank. Since I can't get it from the bank ATM machine, let me just go inside and see what I can do. And, you know, the teller behind the plexiglass is like kind of sleeping. And Rob's like, hello, hello. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. You know, no one ever comes inside the bank anymore. I'm at home thinking, I'm sitting watching thinking, okay, point taken. We got the memo. You know, people need to come into the bank more than what they do. It's like, hey, he goes, hey, sorry, I've got nothing to do with that, but I need to get some money out. I need to get $12.89 out because that's how much the rope is, $12.89. So she's like, okay, sure. And so she takes her time counting the money out. And then she, you know, goes and she gives him the money. And as he's, you know, she counts it out slowly. And Rob's like, I'm in a hurry. So, I mean, this is all for dramatic effect. And it's funny. It's so ridiculous, but it's funny. And then as soon as he gets the money, you know what happens, right? This couple walks in with mask on and they rob the bank. You know, hit him in the face, basically, take his money. So, and then leave after they get money from the bank. Rob figures out where they live. He follows them and he looks inside the window and he sees, you know, that the bank robbers were actually a married couple, a husband and wife, and they're, you know, they don't have you can see their faces and they're talking to their baby. They're like, we're sorry that we had to go rob a bank to feed you and support you. You know, the baby while having sex. And they're saying that over, you know, the baby that we made having sex, you know, and but we like really love you. And we, you know, we just, and then the wife's like, I lost my job and I have no other way to do anything. So this is our way. You know, we have to rob banks to pay the bills and take care of you. So Rob sees that through the window and he feels bad. He has empathy for them. Then the next scene is Rob busting into the their house, knocking the door down with his gun. And he's like, I want my $12.89. You know, he starts to swear a little bit, but it was just funny because that's all he wants. He didn't want $13. He didn't want $100. He didn't want what they stole, just his $12.89 so he can go by the rope. So now, mind you, while Rob is doing all this, John Cho is still stuck in quicksand. Two campers or people strolling the park walk by and see John. They're like, hey, you okay? You need any help? And John's like, no, thank you. I'm fine. I have all the faith and confidence in my friend Rob. He'll help me. So the park strollers look at him like he's crazy. Like, oh, okay. Are you hungry? I have a granola bar. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll take that. So he throws a granola bar close to John's face, but John is, you know, he can't get to it. So now, how many people do you know who are stuck in quicksand? Someone comes by to help and they say no because my buddy's going to help me instead. Ridiculous, doesn't make sense, not going to happen. But for the sake of the story, it was funny. It was. Like I said, this was so bad, it was great. It was one of those things. So, and there were times where Rob would run back to the park to give John a report on what was going on. Like the first time he went to get the rope, he didn't have the cash. So he runs and he goes back and he tells John that, yeah, so here's what happened. He doesn't take cars. I have to go get the ATM, get cash. So, you know, and then when I went to go get cash, the guy in front of me broke the ATM machine. So, you know, so you think John would be impatient and yelling at him because he doesn't want to die. John is just cool and calm, collected, and confident that Rob is going to save his life. So it's just really funny and very interesting. So eventually, what happens is Rob has the money now because he confronted the bank robbers. Goes back to the surplus store to buy the rope. Now, mind you, the first time he was there, you know, the guy behind the counter offered him hand gloves with the rope, and Rob's like, I don't need them. So he goes back to buy the rope from the guy, and the guy's like, hey, I just sold the last rope to a customer. You just missed him. Rob's like, oh, no. Rob runs outside. He sees the car who bought, you know, the customer who bought the rope. The rope's at the end, or it's at the bumper in the back of the car, and it's just flapping. Like on the ground, the car takes off. Rob picks up the rope and he starts to pull on it, and it's ripping through his hands. And you hear him screaming and crying, basically, because of the burn on his hand, which he wouldn't have had had he bought the the hand gloves to go with the rope, like the guy behind the counter told him. So, and the guy sees him, he's like, hey, you idiot, I told you to buy the gloves. And you hear him screaming and screaming. So the next scene basically is eventually Rob gets back to see John. John's up to his neck now in quicksand. And Rob tells him everything that happened and how it's all just been a crazy day. And he's like, and John's like, hey, you tried your best. No worries. I'm pleased. So when you're watching this, you ask yourself, so is John Cho's character who wants to see a dead body, is he going to be the dead body? Well, I mean, what's happening here? But I do have to admit that I like the whole premise of this series where, you know, it starts off, do you want to see a dead body? And then it just falls from there. I mean, so I'm not going to tell you what happened. You have to tune in to watch that episode. But it's just funny. You know, will John be saved or does he die? Does he become the thing that he's looking for? You have to tune in to watch. But it did remind me of airplane humor from the Robert Hayes movies back in the 80s. Airplane, just really slapstick, in your face, just funny, bad and funny at the same time. So just kind of crazy, but yeah, I enjoyed it. So, and in regards to more on John Cho, he's come a long way since Harold and Kumar. Apparently his new movie Searching has earned, and it's in theaters now, it's earned $20 million domestic from off of a $5 million Sundance acquisition purchase from the Sundance Festival. It has also earned $26.3 million overseas thus far, including $13.1 million in South Korea. because, you know, Mr. Cho is Korean. That's a global total for $46 million and counting. So especially if it only costs $20 to buy or to make it. In some ways, the under-the-radar success of Screen Gem Searching is even more of a win than Crazy Rich Asians, that film that came out that preceded it, with the important caveat that it's not either a either or prop that's not an that it's not an either or proposition. So I think that's cool, and I am going to watch it because it's a thriller. I saw the trailer more than once, so I'm check it out. So, but yeah, definitely check out on YouTube Premium the original series. Do you want to see a dead body? Yeah, it's very and it's the episode 2, A Body and Some Quicksand. So the characters are very funny. More after this break.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Oh, and by the way, so one of the funny things, again, like I said, about this episode of A Body and Some Quicksand was that, you know, Rob keeps trying to offer people sexual favors for bartering so he can get the money that he needs to save John. He's like, I'm talking about sex stuff. So that was funny, you know. So he did that more than once. So, but yeah, it was fun. I'm looking forward to watching the whole season because I'm intrigued by it now. Do you want to see a dead body? And the episode was called A Body and Some Quicksand, featuring John Cho. So you have to check that out. So what else I was about to say? In regards to the telly. So next, very soon we'll be discussing Snowfall. So I haven't had a chance to sink my teeth into that, but that's next on my list. So possibly even next week. But before the month's over, we will be discussing that show. Definitely. That's a new series. They're on the second season. And that series is about, we'll talk about it. I mean, it's about the crack cocaine era in America. And it shows the beginning of it and where it came from. So, but so, and apparently a good friend of mine, she just finished season 2. And she let me know that it's even better than the first season. So I'm very excited to watch the show and talk to you guys about it. So that will be coming up very soon. But until then, I wanted to talk about Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. So now we first saw Jack Ryan, believe it was with Harrison Ford and or that's when I remember him. I think it was with Clear and Present Danger. I can't remember. But Harrison Ford played him. And then Ben Affleck played him briefly. And now it's gone to John Krasinski. So, and I think he's a great actor. So definitely look forward to seeing how this series plays out. Let me give you some info on that. Let's see. All right. Author Tom Clancy introduced the character of Jack Ryan in a series of books before Ryan headed to the big screen in several films. And I think the first film might have been The Hunt for Red October, actually. Now, the former U.S. Marine is featured in an episodic series for the first time, with John Krasinski portraying Ryan in this Amazon original thriller that centers on Ryan as an up-and-coming CIA analyst. He is thrust into a dangerous field assignment for the first time and uncovers a pattern in terrorist communication that launches him into the middle of a dangerous gambit with a new breed of terrorism that threatens destruction on a global scale. So, I mean, so that's a good way to talk about it, definitely. So getting into the story of this new series. So Jack Ryan is a former Marine. He has a doctor's degree in economics. He sticks to himself. He's a loner for the most part, but he's definitely a team player at work. He takes his job very seriously. So when you meet him, he's actually bike riding in the first episode. I guess he's on his way to work. He almost runs into a car, and the car he runs into is the character James Greer, played by Wendell Pierce. Wendell Pierce sees him as he takes off and he calls him an a-hole. And Jack Ryan character's like, well, you know, whatever. He's looking like, you know, it wasn't really my fault, but there's nothing for him to really say. So then the next scene is James Greer, who's Wendell Pierce, James Greer's character, he is talking to his boss, who is played by Timothy Hutton, Nathan Singer. And James Greer is sitting in front of Nathan's desk, and they're talking, and Nathan's like, hey, I'm just surprised that you're here, but I'm glad that you are here. And he asked James, hey, so how's the wife? You know, how's the family? And you find out that James Greer is, like, divorced. Doesn't seem happy. Seems kind of depressed about the whole thing. And you find out in this moment that James basically went through, suffered a demotion. That he wasn't really wanted back. And James is like, look, I'll take, you know, whatever job you guys give me, I'll make the best of it. And Nathan's like, good, because, by the way, don't mess this up, he said, because I vouch for you to come back. You know, and James nods his head like, okay, not a problem. Then he walks into the conference room where Jack Ryan is with his colleagues working on stuff. They stop. He says his name and says, hey, you know, what was his character's name? I forgot already. Oh, James Greer. He walks into the conference room. Short-term memory. Don't mind me. So comes and goes sometimes. He's like, you know, I'm James Greer. You know, I'm your new boss. He uses a different word, but it's the same as boss. Jack Ryan sees him, and he's like, he swears under his breath, like, you know, damn. The guy I ran into with my bike almost is who caught me a butthole is now my boss. Good times. So that was actually pretty funny to see. Believe it or not, that was pretty funny. To see all of that. And then a scene that we didn't talk about in the beginning of this first episode is that you see these kids in the Middle East playing, having a good time. You see the mom outside. She has her full clothes on or her full garb. It's like a traditional Muslim hijab, I believe it's called. So kids are playing, and then, you know, they're just running around just being kids. And eventually what happens is that bombs start to bomb their city. And when your neighborhood is gone because someone bombed it, it's like, okay, so you don't forget that. And then you're like, you're on a mission, and it's personal at that point. So I believe the purpose of showing us that scene was to let us know that this is why this terrorism is happening. Because, you know, I do believe a lot of times these people are kind of created by actions from other countries and other people. So, you know, what becomes a monster, you know? So just really interesting stuff. But yeah, it was really heartbreaking to see that, you know, this bomb just went over the small little, like, village of people or neighborhood, and people were dead because of it. So when I'm watching this scene, I'm thinking to myself, okay, they wanted us to see this for a reason. there's a meaning to this, and we're going to find out later on that this is probably the root of why all these things are happening, and then how Jack Ryan gets sucked into this war of terrorism and trying to keep the country and the world safe, you know, he and the people that he works for. So, but that was very interesting to see that. So, of course, Jack Ryan and James Greer have a kind of a rocky start, but Jack goes and reports himself to James and lets him know what he found. And basically, James tells him that you don't have any proof. I need more definitive, concrete information before I can proceed. You're just not ready. So, of course, when Jack Ryan hears that, he's like, you know, he's offended by it, but he doesn't say anything. But you can tell he's in shock that his boss said that to him. And basically, James is like, you know, back to the drawing board. So, but because Jack is talking about how there's someone they should be looking out for, and his name is Suleiman, and I might be saying it wrong, and his and this is funny because his real name is Ali Suleiman or Suleiman in real life, the actor, but yeah, his role is Suleiman. And he seems to be the head guy, the head kingpin, the head terrorist, who everyone is following his directions. So, you know, Jack Ryan's got the hunch and he's got the gut feeling, but he can't prove it yet. But because he's so strong in his conviction and belief, he convinces another. Because Jack asked James Greer, his boss, if they could freeze the accounts to see what happens, and James is like, "No, not yet." But Jack's not taking no for an answer, so he finds a colleague from a different department who's in the same office cubicle as him, and he inadvertently convinces her to do the freezing for him. Then James gets a call from one of his headquarters about that freeze date, and he realizes, hey, I had nothing to do with that, but he knows that Jack Ryan was behind it, calls him in, and they have a fallout, and they have a big argument. Then Jack goes home. So James and Jack are already butting heads, which leads for a really interesting dynamic. And Wendell Pierce is a great actor. He's been in Waiting to Excel. He's a series regular on the series is called Tremé. It was an HBO TV series based out of Louisiana, New Orleans, and he was a series regular on that show. So Wendell's been a supporting actor. An actor playing supporting cast roles for a long time. He's been in the business for a while. Great actor, great presence. So him and Jack Krasinski work well together. So and I get the feeling when I watch the two of them and how they butt heads that they're going to wind up becoming best friends. That's the feeling I get when I watch this show. So we'll see. I don't know yet, but I'm enjoying it. So yeah, when James gets a call from one of his superiors about the freeze, he knows exactly who did it. So he confronts Jack and they butt heads again. Jack's like, I didn't do it, but I'm glad it happened. And James is like, I don't want you to do it because there's other things that are in play. And Jack's like, well, how come you didn't tell me? And James is like, well, it's not my job to tell you. You're supposed to do what you got to do. Do what you're told. So, I mean, it's just the show is really cool in that regard. Basically, what winds up happening, Jack does find out about he starts to pinpoint Suleiman, if I'm saying his name right, because he's been monitoring his accounts, trying to see if they're going to put in any exorbitant amount of funds in their accounts. What are they doing with it? Just monitoring and watching the money and the flow, and just seeing what they can do to draw him out. Because they don't know exactly what he looks like, but they know that he's real, or Jack Ryan thinks he's real. So what winds up happening is they eventually figure out that he is real. They're able to flesh him out. But it takes a while for that to happen. Because what happens, even when they do have him, they don't know that they have him. At least not yet. And all this time I'm watching the show and I'm asking myself, you know, what's the connection to Suleiman to the opening episode of the first season where that family in Trudon got bombed and killed at the beginning of the series. But like I said, when you see stuff like that and the people survive that, they're never the same. They're going to be scarred and they're going to want revenge because, you know, families are sacred. So families should never have to be in war. But, you know, just stuff like that. I guess it humanizes who the bad guys are to an extent, but only to an extent. We'll talk some more about that after this break.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
So basically, what happens within the series, at least in the episodes that I've seen, they're able to arrest and detain at least 2 to 3 men, bring them back for interrogation, and they're still trying to figure out who Suleiman is, and no one's talking. Of course, people are getting tortured. No one's talking. And they brought Jack. So Greer brings Jack on the mission. Basically, what happens, Jack, his old boss invites him to a party or a fundraiser, and Jack doesn't want to go, but the old boss is like, hey, come check it out. You know, as a personal favor, as a friend, this has nothing to do with work. So Jack decides to go. Jack sees his old boss. They talk. His old boss asked Jack to do something. Jack's like, this is not something I'm comfortable doing. And the boss is just, his old boss is just like, you know, you're very self-righteous. And I look forward to the day where you get knocked off your perch and realize that things are a lot more complicated than you think. And then Jack winds up meeting his old boss's daughter, who's a doctor. And he's very taken with her. She has a very nice smile. And they start talking and hitting it, you know, clicking. Then a helicopter lands at the front lawn or the back lawn where this fundraiser is, and military people from Coast Guard come out and they're asking for Jack Ryan. It's like, that's me. And then they escort him to the helicopter like, you need it right away. And he looks at his old boss's daughter. What's her name? Looking at the cast. And he's like, I'm sorry, I have to go. Because she's like, what do you do? He's like, oh, I'm just an analyst. Okay, Kathy Mueller. That's so her dad, Mr. Mueller, John used to work for. Kathy is and she's played by Abby Cornish. She is a doctor. She's an epidemiologist, if I'm saying that right. So, and like I said, Jack's a doctor of economics. So he's like, got to go. I'm sorry. She's like, hey, it's understood. He gets on the helicopter. They take him to the airport. And he sees James Greer, his boss. He's like, what's going on? He goes, we're going to the Middle East. I forget what, you know, and you're coming with me. He goes, I'm not. He goes, get on the plane. So so he goes, and that's when, they get in a situation where they detain these men, these suspects. And, everyone's trying to crack them, and they're not cracking. So Jack goes into the room, eats some food, and he just talks to the one guy. And he asked him, do you know who Suleiman is? And the guy looks at him like, no, that's a common name. The guy is just real cool and crisp and calm. Eventually what happens, though, is Suleiman gets broken out. He escapes. Well, and when he escapes, that's when Jack figures out that the guy he was talking to, who was asking about, he was actually Suleiman. So that's going on. Now, also, you see this woman, you know, this Arabic woman with her children. And no, they're just doing their thing. And these people come to town, and she's the woman is like, you know, she has to protect her kids. She's like, who are you? And the one gentleman says, well, your husband sent us. So with that information, she has to just oblige. So she allows for them to stay until, you know, until her husband comes back so he can deal with them. So they get, so they all live like in a little compound in the desert. So these men who come to visit have their own separate room. They got all these weapons in there. Now, the wife doesn't know what's going on. She just knows that these are allegedly her husband's friends. She thinks they are. She's not happy about it, but she thinks they are. And she wants to keep her kids away. And the kids are great. They're just really cute kids. Just being kids, you know, like it's just universal. No matter where you live, kids like to play, have a good time. It doesn't take much to make them happy. You know, they're just the purest people on earth, really. So, and the people they cast it do a great job of that. You just like them, you know. They could be anybody's kids, you know. That's how you feel when you watch them. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, please no more bombing these compounds with children and mothers and stuff and grandmas in it. So, as I said before, Suleiman, he does escape. And they just don't know how it all went bad and how he got away, but they figured out that that's who he is. Oh, well, basically there's a showdown between Jack Ryan and one of the people who was breaking out Suleiman. And they shoot Jack Ryan, but he survives. And he shoots and he gets off a shot or two as well. So, I mean, it got pretty intense. It got, you know, because he could have died, but he didn't. And it's all, like, filmed. So when they get back to the headquarters, I believe, like, in D.C., they're showing the interrogation and the footage, and you see Jack and what almost happens to him. So there's a big conference room with all these people, and James Greer's in there, and his boss, Singer, Nathan Singer, played by Timothy Hutton's in there. So, you know, they have all this information now, and there's so up until this point, the people in that boardroom, they don't know about Suleiman. This has just been between James Greer and Jack Ryan. So, but now here's the cool thing about, like I said, you know, Jack and James have this tense relationship, but they also have this tense respect for each other, and they back each other up. So like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing how their relationship plays out throughout the season, because they're just two different types of men. One is this tall, statuesque man. One is a short man. And they both have big personalities. You can see James's personality. Jack's is still unfolding. But like I said, I'm only on second. Well, I'm on the third episode now. But Jax is unfolding. What I like about what I'm seeing, though, with this show is that, you know, here's a guy who was content with being a CIA analyst. And we're finding out, because he was a Marine and he was in Afghanistan, there were some things that probably happened to him. You know, when you're, in the service and you get deployed like that, you know, you see a lot of things and you probably don't want to talk about a lot of those things. But what we do know is that he loves his country and he's still serving his country in a different form. But what's interesting is that whenever you watch these spy movies or shows, you know, the main character is always very, they're not that enigmatic. Sometimes they're mysterious, but a lot of times they're just really gung-ho, gregarious, just bold, just, you know, charismatic, commanding presence. You may not know they're a spy when you see them, but you know there's something special about them. Jack Ryan is very intelligent. It's kind of unassuming, and it makes him dangerous because he comes across like the guy next door, you know, that your daughter's supposed to marry or date, or that your mom would approve of. You know, your daughter brings home some guy you don't like, and Jack Ryan is the neighbor, and your mom's like, how come you don't date him? He's a nice young man. You know, one of those things. So he's unassuming and intelligent. And often I'm finding out a lot of times those people can be even more dangerous and more deadly. And you really want to be on their side, because never underestimate a brilliant, smart, crafty, clever person who's capable. Never do it. And like I said, and James Greer's character is very rough around the edges, it seems like. He's going through some things, like I said earlier, he's divorced. But I found out that, you know, he converted to the Muslim faith for his wife, and now he's not with her anymore. So now he doesn't really want to pray anymore, but he meets up with an old friend of his who knows his wife, and this friend gives him some beads, and she's, and his friend's like, Allah is always with you, you know, or you could say God is always with you, so don't give up, you know, have that faith. And James needed to hear that. And what I think is happening is that the dynamic between James and Jack Ryan is that James is going to soften and become more of a human than he's going to be more humanized. I think he created these barriers, this wall, because apparently a situation happened when he had a higher rank and he lost it. And second season hints to what happened, haven't gotten the details yet. So Jack Ryan's like, what happened to so-and-so? And he says, well, I'll tell you when you tell me what happened in Afghanistan. You'll see. So it's like stalemate or check. I mean, you know, they're at a stalemate. They're they're checking each other. It's kind of, so I get the impression that, that James Greer's character, one of Pierce's character, James Greer, is going to make Jack even tougher and make Jack even more concise with what he does. And he's going to turn Jack into an agent who's out in the field. Something that Jack doesn't want to do, that Jack might be hesitant to do, but Jack is born to do, and James is going to show him that. And I believe, I get the feeling that Jack is going to show James that you still are a good leader. You may have made one mistake, but you were meant to lead, and you and I are going to help change the world together. So I get that vibe when I'm watching the show, so I'm very excited about that. Now, the character Suleiman, what's cool about him is that very charismatic. You finally see him come home. So the woman who had the kids, that's when we figure out, okay, that's his wife. Wasn't quite sure. She could have been anybody's wife. He comes home. His kids greet him, his two daughters and his son. And they're excited to see their dad. He's got gifts for them. And they're all, you know, they're kids. You know, they're kids. So I love seeing these shows. And you see people from different faiths and different religions and different places. And you see the universal nature of people. And like I said, of kids and families. And, you know, almost all kids like gifts. You know, so it was just cool to see him, you know, give his daughter this big doll and the look on her face. And then when he saw his wife, he just had this look of love and adoration on his face. And he's like, my beautiful diamond. And you're thinking, okay, well, where's her gift? And then later on in the episode, he's like, you think I didn't bring you a gift? And he shows her the gift. He gives her this necklace. And she's talking to him. And she's like, hey, I don't like these guys that are here. What are they doing? I don't trust them. He's like, hey, I'm your husband. Trust me. She's like, I've always trusted you. I've never questioned you up until now, because the daughter has a run in with this one dude with these really horrible teeth who's kind of drooling over her. He's an older guy, like he just looks very perverty-ish, just really, really pervy. So I was offended. I was just like, dude, leave her alone. He tries to get her to lick on his sucker and give her a lollipop, and then her brother calls and she runs away and she runs to her mom and starts crying because she's a kid. Leave her alone. It was so. All that's going on too. So that's when the wife is having the conversation with her husband, Suleiman, about what's going on. So you see him, he's this devoted father, and he tells her, hey, everything I do for our family and for, you know, for you and the children. So he's very vague about what's going on, but, you know, the daughter, you know, looks into one room and she sees all these guns and ammunition, and that's just not healthy. And, you know, that shouldn't really be around kids. So, cause you know, that makes your kids a target, you know? So all that's going on. So when Pierce, so we talked about how they were over in the Middle East. They were able to detain Suleiman and his cohorts and didn't know that they had him. He escaped. So Jack and James go back to America, and they have that briefing. And that's when Jack tells him, this is Suleiman. This is what's going on. He's dangerous. He's not like ISIS. He's different. So everyone takes notice when he says that. And then the boss in the room is like, well, we need a task force. Nathan Singer, played by Timothy Hutton, is like, I'm going to give it to the European European operatives. James is like, what about us? He goes, well, I'm going to give it to them. They can handle it. So, you know, basically James and Jack could slide it, even though James and Jack put the footwork in. But later on, Nathan approaches Jack. And he's like, hey, you know, would you like to, you know, I like how you stood up for yourself and told us what was going on, whether we liked it or not, because we need more people like you. He goes, how would you like to head up a task force, a Suleiman task force? And Jack's like surprised, like, okay, well, can I have a time to think about it? He goes, well, sure, but don't take too long. But you can have a really bright future here. We'd like to have you move up. So it seems like Nathan Singer brought James Greer back to keep him under control. On James's first day back in the office, like I said, he told him, hey, you know, I vouch for you, so don't mess up. All right, so cool. That would give me some gratitude towards you, but now I think you're kind of hating on me a little bit. So, like, you want me here so you can make sure I don't do anything to get back to where I was. I mean, did you just bring me back just so you could play the good guy and keep me on the leash? So, but I think that's not going to work for Nathan. Because I think he underestimated Jack and James and the mutual respect that they have that's not spoken upon yet, but is obviously there. So we'll talk some more about Tom Clancy and Jack Ryan after this break.
The average SUV has two blind spots, weighs between 4,000 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
And we're back. Once again, you're listening to Golden State Media Concepts television podcast, and I'm Captain Keith. Yeah, that's who I am. I almost forgot who I was. How is that even possible? So we're talking about Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, Amazon Prime original TV series, starring John Krasinski and co-starring Wendell Pierce. So when they came back and they had the briefing, and like I said, you get the impression that Nathan Singer was kind of blowing them off in public, but he tells, you know, Jack Ryan in private, hey, you know, why don't you head out task force? And Jack's like, well, let me think about it. So what I didn't talk about is Jack, in the second episode, he manages to go back and see Kathy Mueller, the doctor he was talking to when he got pulled away at the party and went into the helicopter. So he finds her, talks to her, because his back got messed up, so he had to go to the hospital, and he found out that she works at the same hospital. He goes down to see her, and she's like, well, I'm just starting my shift. They talk. She tells him what her father said about him, and Jack is about ready to be kind of defend himself, and she's like, you know what? I don't care what my dad thinks. And Jack's like, okay, cool. So Jack gets her phone number. He's like, you know, can we go out? She's like, yeah. So Jack is definitely interested in Kathy Mueller. And he starts looking her up online at his office. He gets back, and she tells him, well, in regards to your back, you should try yoga. He's like, okay. So when Wendell Pierce gets back to the office after meeting with his friend, his mutual friend that his ex-wife and he had, before he had left for his meeting, he gave Jack Suleiman's cell phone that they recovered. And Jack's like, how'd you get it? He goes, oh, I borrowed it. And it had a sly look on his face. So it was cool. So Jack has been trying to, and James tells Jack, look, terrorists, just like everybody else, they use passwords that have meaning to them, birthdays, you know, their kids, their wives, them. So, you know, they're humans. So, you know, it's going to be a similar, it's not going to be this really deep password usually. It's something that's familiar to them. So Jack is trying to guess all this stuff, and he's coming up, you know, with nothing. And basically what happens is, James comes back, and he sees Jack on the floor in the conference room, and like in this downward dog position or whatever position it is, where he's stretching out his back. Yeah, it's kind of funny on the floor. And I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, yoga for my back. And he's like, oh, you know, I've come up with crap. And James like, oh, I want to leave. He goes, what, that's it? You're leaving? I've been here all day trying to figure this out. You're going to go? And there's that surveillance footage of when they detained Suleiman, because they know who he is now. And James is like, hold on, stop, wait, go back. Look at his hands. Look, he's been arrested before. He knows how to, look at how he's acting when they have this shit with their handcuffs. And then they're like, well, where? You know, we've looked everywhere. We can't find anything. Oh, this phone is French, though. So let me check his aliases in France. They check his aliases in France, and then they find his prison picture in France. And then Jack sees his prisoner number. He types that into the cell phone. They have access. Because they're about to be locked out, and the phone's about to be destroyed because they kept trying the different codes. They get access. They figure out some more information. And then they go try to bust down a sleeper cell operation, basically in France. And when Jack briefs the boss, and they invite Nathan, and Nathan's upset because you're supposed to brief me on this, and the boss like, don't worry about it. He says to Jack, so what do you want to do now, you know, Mr. Ryan? He goes, well, James and I need to go. So that just cut Nathan right out. Nathan was mad because, you know, Nathan didn't want James to be involved in this. So, like I said, the chemistry between Jack and James is really cool because I can see it growing. But, yeah, so that was really cool. They go and then, you know, they're planning on finding the sleeper cell in France. And that's all due to the cell phone that they were able to crack. So because, you know, something that James had noticed on the screen. So like I said, they work good together, and I think they're starting to figure that out. So I am excited about this show. So if this season goes well, Mr. Clancy, I might be reading your books because I'm digging this. And I like the idea of having an American spy anyway because I love James Bond, and I always want us, you know, Americans to have our own version of that. I do like Jason Bourne. So I probably need to read those books because I do like that, and I do like Matt Damon in that role. And actually, I like to see more of those films. I just want them to be more. I want more Jason Bourne films, but I want them to be more more intricate. They've been good, but they can be even better and more intricate because the Bond films are usually kind of very intricate. So, but yes, Amazon Prime, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan season one. Check it out. I can't wait to bench and finish it, but I'm all in. So there's lots of things that happen, but I'm going to say that for you to watch. So I did want to talk to you about The Gifted. That's coming back next Tuesday, September 25th. And it's like, so, and I think I spoke about it before. So The Gifted basically it's like the X-Men are gone. Mutants are outlawed. If you're a mutant in this time, you have to register and they want to control you. And let's get into the cast. Cause the main guy, let's see. And I always know his name and I'm drawing a blank now. It's driving me nuts. What is his name? He was from True Blood. Stephen Moyer plays Reed Strucker, and he works for the government, and his job is to register mutants. He has a loving wife and two kids. His loving wife is played by Amy Acker from Buffy the Vampire Flame and Angel Flame, she's from Angel Fame, basically. She might have been on Buffy. I can't remember. She's Kate Strucker, and their kids are... Lauren Strucker, played by Natalie Allen Lind, she's great. And Andy Strucker is played by Percy Hines White, and he's great. So basically, Lauren is a mutant, and she didn't tell her father because of what he does. She's been hiding it from everybody. She can make like these bubbles that become like force fields. And Andy is a mutant. He doesn't know it yet. Anger kind of triggers him, and he can just move and break things. He's got like the ultimate power of telekinesis. Yes, he does. So there are these underground rebel mutants who are trying to collect, you know, find, they have like their own underground railroad thing going on with the mutants. If you're a mutant, they're trying to get to you before the government can and put you on the underground railroad basically and get you, placed in different place parts of the world where you're safe, where no one's going to look for you, and no one's going to try to control you. So, I mean, of course, you got government officials who are bad guys. You got one government official who's a scientist who likes to experiment on mutants and control them and use mutants against other mutants. He's a real piece of work. And he's played a bad guy before, and he does it really well. And I'm looking for his face. I don't see it. But, oh, yeah, he's a special guy. Let me see if I can find his face and tell you. Looking at the cast list. I always like to pull up the cast list. Okay, Dr. Roderick Campbell, played by Garrett Dillahunt. Oh, yeah, he's a piece of work. He just looks mean, period. He's good, though. I don't like him, which means he's doing his job. He's a great actor, though. Yeah, he's really good on the show. So he likes to round up mutants and, you know, just have fun, play with them, you know, experiment on them and use perform mind control and make them work for him. So they become registered, you know, and they're hunting down their own kind. So, but then you have Jace Turner, played by Kobe Bell, who used to be on the Burn List, or the Burn Notice, and what's that football team? The Game, I think it's called. Yeah, he's a regular on that. Jace Turner, like him a lot, very charismatic. I want to see him do more work. I really do like to see him. He's definitely a leading man. He's been doing great supporting roles, but I can, yeah, he's a leading man, though. He's good. But everyone on this show is great. So what happens when you spend all your life in this government job registering mutants and assuming bad things about them because your job kind of tells you to, and then you come home one day and you find out that your two kids are mutants? Yeah, it kind of changes everything, doesn't it? Because now you got to ask yourself, are you going to turn your kids in? Are you going to register them? Or are you going to look at things a little differently and protect them because they're your kids? So, you know, that's the situation that, you know, Reed Strucker's in. And how his son, Andy, gets found out he's getting picked on. And he gets so angry that he just kind of demolishes the locker room, the football locker room. And, you know, Lauren has to go get him and she protects him. And then, I mean, there's just really cool back history that you find out later on in season one, because, you know, about mutants. And what happens is the same people that Reed was trying to abduct wind up being the same people saving and protecting him and his family. And of course there's friction, because they're looking at him like, you know, just the other day you were one of them, but now it's a whole new game now, isn't it? So now that you see, now you're one of us because you got kids and they're mutants. So they, you know, so they're looking at him a little side eye, like, you know, you're gonna have to earn our trust. You know, your kids we're cool with because they're one of us anyway, but you, we don't know. And then the wife, Kate, you know, she's still adjusting and she doesn't realize, she's a teacher. And so far, you know, these kids, these mutants that they have at their headquarters, they don't have a school. So now that they're all on the run and they're living, you know, with the, you know, at the underground headquarters, she decides that she's going to teach these mutants because they're kids and they're still kids. They need to have education. So, and that's pretty cool watching her teach the kids. You know, making them feel normal, making them feel like they're still kids. Yeah, they're mutants, but they're kids. But what's interesting about the show, The Gifted, is that, you know, the whole mutant thing is just like, okay, you're an outcast. It's like, you know, it's just, you know, it's dealing with discrimination. And that's the cool thing about Marvel and what they did with the X-Men. The X-Men was always about that anyway. They just called them mutants instead of black or Asian or Hispanic. So I really like this show because there's different factions. Jace Turner, you know, he's an FBI agent and he wants to round them all up. And he's got a backstory that's really cool. It's not cool. It's just sad. But you'll see what drives him and you feel for him. And you know he's a good person. He's not a bad guy, but the situation kind of makes him seem like he is, but he's not. He definitely has feeling. But like I said, his backstory is worth checking out on this show. And just the mutants who are in charge, Let's see. Laura Dane, played by Emma Dumont. She's kind of militant because she's just really jaded. She's like, you know what? You know, I don't really trust humans. They've been screwing me over. They're always picking up, poking up, prodding at me. You know, I'm all about defending myself and defending what's mine. Her boyfriend is just like, we got to be smart about things. Not all humans are bad, you know. And then it's just because at one point she had been abducted and he's trying to get her back. And there's just this, you know, he's stressed out about it because he doesn't know if he's going to be able to save her. And he doesn't want to cross any lines. So I can't wait to see how season two unfolds next week. But that's The Gifted, and season two starts next Tuesday on Fox. So check that out. Check out Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime. And you want to see a dead body. A Body in Some Quicksand on YouTube Premium with John Cho and Rob Hubel. Those are all great things to watch. Well, once again, good people of planet Earth and the known universe, you've been listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you had a good time. I know I did. And until next time, I'll see you somewhere out in space.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.